Today on Older and Wiser.
It's never too late to get a tattoo, is it? Well, a new survey reveals who's getting them and why.
How do you choose a bottle of wine? Where do you buy it? And how much will you spend? We have some fascinating statistics.
Also, a new Harris poll reveals America's most beloved childhood books. We'll tell you what they are.
I'm Susan Sikora, along with Bob Bates, and this is Older and Wiser.
I don't know if you have a Trader Joe's in your town.
Oh, honey, mine's walkable.
But many parts of the country, there's a store called Trader Joe's. And a few years back, I don't know if you remember this, they put out a wine called Charles Shaw.
Yeah, $2 Chuck.
That's right. It was called $2 Chuck, and you could buy it for $1.99. Wasn't the best thing in the world, but I guess it was better than, like, say, box wine or jug.
Do you know it won awards when they did blind tasting?
Really?
It did. I'm not kidding. It was a staple in my refrigerator.
How much would you spend on a bottle of wine? Well, wine.net did a survey of 2,000 wine drinkers. Now, the survey asked a variety of things, including what do you look for when you're shopping for a bottle of wine in the store? According to the survey, more than 80% of people picked a bottle of wine based on the label's look.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of get this, right?
Yeah, I do. I use that a lot.
When I'm scanning all the bottles in the wine aisle at Ralph's, I do kind of look for something that looks a little pricier, you know? Mm-hmm. In the event that somebody comes over and I have to serve it to them, I don't want it to look like a cheap bottle of wine.
And what tells you that on the label?
Well, I like a nice font. You know, if the letters are in a nice font.
Roland DeFonts, I know.
Listen, if there's a color picture, I will not buy it. You know, I don't like a color picture. I like it to look old, like the bottling.
Yes.
In fact, right now I'm buying a wine called Bogle because it's got a little round label and I just like the label.
I've seen it.
It's actually a pretty good, it's a good little wine. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Okay.
65% of folks who were surveyed here chose the wine based on how expensive they thought the wine looked on the shelf.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, the $2 Chuck thing was kind of a joke. It was kind of a little, you know, in joke. And people bought it just to say, look, I've got $2 Chuck. And then they tasted it. And they maybe some of them were embarrassed to say, this isn't so bad, depending on with whom they were drinking.
Listen, the wine label for Charles Shaw, the $2 Chuck, actually looked kind of nice. The thing is, once people realized that Charles Shaw was $1.99 a bottle, then you couldn't bring out your Charles Shaw at your dinner party because everyone then knew it was $2 Chuck. So
some of the labels, for instance, also use, they'll be written in French. I don't know. I think that if it's got a French name, you think it's probably made in France. And
That's right.
You look down and you see, oh, it's done in Napa, California, or it's in upstate New York. So I don't know if that tells you anything. And then, of course, as you're looking at this fabulous bottle of wine, we now have a twist-off cap, which there was a lot of resistance to that when it first came in. And I think it's because, not because twisting it off made it, I mean, let's face it, it's a lot easier.
Yes.
But, and I don't know that it affects the wine. I'm not a connoisseur, but it looks cheaper.
It does look cheaper. Mm-hmm. And but we've since discovered that some of the best wines now have screw tops.
Of course.
And they're very expensive wines are now being bottled with screw tops. Absolutely.
Well, we've gotten accustomed to that look.
Especially the white wines for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Red wine drinkers apparently are willing to pay more for a bottle of wine than white wine drinkers. I don't know why. Maybe they figure a really good red wine is going to be a bit more expensive. Some 20% of red wine drinkers say they'll spend $20 or more for a bottle, while white wine drinkers look to spend less, sometimes less than $10 a bottle.
Mm-hmm.
14%.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Yeah.
I line up with all of that.
Yeah. Now, where do you buy your wine? Half of these survey respondents buy their favorite bottles at the grocery store. 40% buy their wine at the liquor store, and just more than 10% go to a specialty wine store.
I never go to a liquor store.
All right, moving on. New survey reveals people are warming up to tattoos. Mm-mm. I guess I knew that. You don't have any tattoos, do you, Susan?
N-O.
N-O. Neither do I. The statistics are unbelievable. Millennials, nearly half of all millennials, and I'm not sure this is correct, but I assume they're saying men and women have a tattoo 47% of millennials have at least one tattoo.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
That's high. Well, first of all, Lena Dunham, for instance, the brains, the genius, and the star of Girls.
Girls, HBO.
Right. She's got tattoos all over her body.
She's got a lot.
I look at that, and I think she's a very bright woman, so I would not make any assumptions about her intelligence based on the tattoos. I think it's almost impulsive. It's like a trend. Everybody's doing it, so let's do it. But I wouldn't do it, but people our age probably don't like it as well.
I guess the point of the survey is that it's becoming much more acceptable. Even older people are looking at them now and going, well, okay, I guess I don't judge that person quite as harshly as I might have done 10 or 20 years ago.
You know where it kind of, every now and then I think, ooh, that might be cute to have one there. Every now and then I see them on a yoga teacher. Somebody who's really good, and they don't have a million of them and all over their back and all over their arms. It's like maybe a little butterfly at the ankle or something. So the placement, I think, is important. The size is important, and it's not screaming something. But, you know, I think it's a painful procedure, isn't it?
I'm sure it is. Well, you did mention that, you know, yoga teachers, 20% of people who get a tattoo claim to do it because it makes them feel more spiritual. So I think that's interesting.
I don't think I have to suffer that much. And frankly, I've got plenty to read right here, a stack of books and things. I've got a book overdue at the library right now. Yeah, I do not
need to. You don't have time to go to the tattoo parlor in between. 27% of those surveys said they did it to be more rebellious. 33% said they thought a tattoo made them feel sexier. Mm-hmm. And 32% said they just thought it was attractive. It made them feel
more. I think some people would think it's sexy.
Yeah.
But again, I think it depends on what the picture is. If you get something put on your body in ink and it's permanent, you better hope you love it.
Well, it does sort of paint you into the corner for the future. You have decided that this is the person you're going to be from now on.
No, professionally, it's not something that would be desirable.
Yeah.
Yeah. What is it? What will you do if you don't like this anymore?
23% of those who responded said they did regret getting at least one of their tattoos. Mm-hmm. So
plus, I'm out from the get go because you had me at it's painful.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm lucky I got my ears pierced.
No. Would you ever get a tramp? What about a tramp stamp? Would you get that? At least no one could see it. It'd be in the back. You don't know what a tramp stamp is?
No, what's a tramp stamp?
It's a tattoo on your back right above your buttocks area. A bit of it shows above your jeans, and then the rest of it goes down, you know, under your jeans, sort of as though it's showing, leading the way.
You can't find me. Well, are you lost?
It sort of suggests that, you know, it sort of points you in the right direction, I suppose.
Well, I guess it does, and the answer is no. But if I do, Bob, I'll let you know. You'll be the first to know.
Okay, we're going to change gears right now and talk about America's favorite books from childhood. Mm-hmm. And I know I had my own, but a new Harris poll reveals America's favorites. The number one book that all of us seem to love the most is The Cat in the Hat.
Mm-hmm. No surprise.
Dr. Seuss. Yeah.
I'm not surprised. I know that more from having read it to, let's say, little kids, if I was babysitting or when I was older and I had, you know, godchildren who were little. Listening to them do it.
Runner-up was, number two position was Dr. Seuss's book, Green Eggs and Ham, which I actually liked that one better than Cat in the Hat for some reason.
Yeah, I did too, really. Yeah, it's a better story. Yeah,
I know, kind of. In third place.
Green eggs.
green eggs, I know. Makes you want to make some, right? Third egg.
Green eggs, and I don't like ham. Not a ham either.
In third place was Where the Wild Things Are by Maurice Sendak.
Yeah, I
never cared for that one. Number four was Nancy Drew.
Loved Nancy Drew.
Nancy Drew. I don't recall ever having really read a Nancy Drew book until I had kids, girls who liked the Nancy Drew books.
Yeah. You probably read the Hardy Boys.
Tom Swift. Actually, I started with the Hardy Boys, but my favorite was Tom Swift because Tom Swift was all about the high-tech electronics and the rocket ships and the all of that, whereas the Hardy Boys were more small-town sleuths, you know, sort of a different thing.
And Nancy Drew is just a smart girl.
Smart girl, smart girl.
We like smart girls, smart females.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Number five was the Bible. Interestingly.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, Bible stories are good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Charlotte's Web comes in sixth place. Okay. Love that one. Mm-hmm. Love Charlotte's Web. And Curious George, number seven.
Haven't read that one either.
Little Women by Louisa May Alcott. And The Giving Tree by Michelle Silverstein.
I loved reading Little Women. I loved watching the old one with June Allison playing Jo. Remember that? And then they did a later remake with Winona Ryder and Susan Sarandon.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder if kids today are still getting the whole reading experience that we had as kids. Or are they getting these stories on their iPads?
You know, well, they can get them on their iPads, and I don't think that excludes the experience. I think it changes it. And it's funny because when I talk to kids, I do a fair amount of substitute teaching still. Mm-hmm. And kids told me just a couple of years ago, I asked them, I said, do you like getting the book? Do you like holding the book in your hands, or do you like getting it on a screen, on an iPad, or, you know? And they said, a lot of them said they really enjoyed holding the book. And I asked them why. And one of the reasons was because they had an idea of how much more there was. Like, in other words, if you're halfway through a book on an iPad, you have to kind of keep checking how many pages and where am I. If it's 200 pages, I'm on 100,
that's a good
then
point.
I'm halfway through.
Yeah.
But you can feel that with a book. You don't even have to check that. And I don't know why that's important if you're really enjoying the book, but, you know, for them.
There's something about the tangibleness of the book, the physical touching of the paper, the kind of the colors, the brightness of the colors on a piece of paper. There's also something about the smell of a book. I remember we used to get books from the library. I don't think people go to the library anymore. I don't know.
I do.
But
I'm overdue at the library. I told you that.
Libraries may be gone before
my
we know
picture's going to be on a poster in the post office. They're going to be looking for me.
All right, moving along to a survey that came out in January from Tech Times. The headline is First World Problems Survey Reveals. And, you know, when we say a first world problem, it's kind of like, my latte is too hot.
That's kind of my only problem.
First
these days,
world
but okay,
problems.
Yes.
It was actually done by a charity group takes care of animals, apparently. I guess they were trying to make the point that while animals are suffering around the world, so many of us are just concerned about, quote unquote, first world problems. But let's start at the bottom. There's 50 of them. And I'm just going to throw out a couple. You could throw out a couple. Number 47, people complain that coffee shops have long lines. That's so hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
I hate that.
Oh, cry me a river, right? No, that's not a problem. Overbrewed tea with scum on top.
Yeah.
That's not a problem. That's a, please, can I have another cup?
Yeah, that's an actual, you like that part. You like that part. Forgetting your phone charger at home.
I don't care. Call me later. It doesn't matter. I mean, unless it's an emergency. If it's an emergency, then, you know, yeah, it's annoying, but we lived without that years ago, and, you know, the world didn't fall apart.
Chip nail polish, that's a toughie, but I don't have that problem.
That's tough, but also there's an answer to that, and that is then just don't polish your nails.
Or just put some more on, right? You could just
You can do that too. You can touch up. But that becomes a difficult thing, you know, to do when you have dark colors. It's a girl thing, Bob.
One of the things that folks in Great Britain complain about all the time is that their important emails are going straight into their junk folder.
That can be bad because a lot of people do business online or use their emails for staying in touch with something that matters to them, whether it's grandchildren or paying a bill or something. And so if it goes to the wrong place and you miss
it. That is annoying.
It's not only annoying, it's time consuming to fix it.
I get junk in my main email box and I get my good mail going to my junk box sometimes.
Yeah, the junk mail is more of a gripe for me, I think.
It's a major, major problem. I had one email address that I couldn't fix. I had to get rid of it because it was just spammed, completely spammed. I couldn't fix it.
And how about this one? Forgetting to wear gloves on a chilly day.
Oh, boy,
that's
a roughie. That is a first world problem.
You know, this is why God gave you pockets. Your coat.
How about having to sit near or in front of children when on a plane?
Okay, if they're not kicking and they're not screaming, what's the problem?
Yeah, you kind of have to
let that go. Are, then it's the other way around.
It's tough.
I agree.
But having had children, I feel sympathy, empathy, rather than total just disgust. I think.
But I'm going to guess that you made sure that your girls were well-behaved and not kicking.
You can't always. I mean, yeah, you can avoid. You cannot let them kick the seat in front of them. But in terms of talking loudly or crying if their ears hurt, there's not, you know, there's a limit, especially with babies. I mean, there's not
right.
much you
well,
can do.
Well, it's babies and the babies are crying and there's, you know, the ear problems with the you know, going up and coming down kind of thing.
Absolutely. If you've got a baby, don't take them on a plane. Some would say
that. Yeah, well, that could be.
I wish there was a way to avoid that.
Sometimes, when people take babies on planes, a lot of times they may not have any recourse.
Exactly. They got to get there and they can't drive and there's no other choice. They just hope to heck that the kid doesn't.
Maybe they should have a whole section for the children.
A children's section. Yes. Do you have children? You'll be in seat 44G. Yes. Yes. Here's one I actually agree with. When hotels have plug sockets placed far from the bed or the mirror. I don't get this with hotels. But
well, that's poor planning.
They're only getting around to this recently in some hotels, and that is that you know, on the nightstand between the two beds, if you've got two double beds in a room or a king size bed, they tie up the socket with the lamp and the alarm clock. Mm-hmm. So you got to dig around back there, pull out the alarm clock, and plug in your cell phone. Listen, these days, everybody's got a cell phone. You want it by your bedside. So figure it out, people. You know what I'm saying?
I agree. No, I agree. And I think that's just a matter of planning. Now, it may be that, you know, however the electricity is wired into the building and they can't. I don't know.
Oh, listen, put in a power strip. That's what they need. Everybody needs to put a power strip right by the bed because, listen, you got a tablet, you got an iPhone, you got more than one person with an iPhone. They need to plug them in. They want them by the bed.
Design one that actually can hang on the wall right next to the bed.
There you go. See? And then people just plug it all in right there.
Yeah, no, I think that's important. How about neighbors parking in front of your house when they have more parking space than you do?
Yeah.
That's just
I get
selfish.
That. I don't want to look out in front and see an old trailer in front of my house when that's from somebody's down the street. Absolutely. I agree with
dipping,
that.
How about dipping a biscuit in a cup of tea and losing half of it? This is so British. You're right.
Well, there was an interesting line in what was that movie about the hotel, Marigold Hotel?
Oh,
yes. And Judi Dench was trying to describe to a younger person about tea and how it works. And the idea of tea is that you dip the biscuit in and you're supposed to know just how long to leave it in before you, so you can take it out so it's got all the nice tea in the biscuit, but it hasn't fallen off into the cup.
But that varies with the biscuit. And by the way, we should make a point that biscuit usually with the British means cookie.
Cookie, yeah.
Yes,
right.
So
yeah, that's a British problem.
If you
problem,
have a biscotti, you're going to leave it in a little bit longer than if you have a fresh out of the oven chocolate chip cookie. Are we getting hungry yet, boys and girls?
I love biscotti.
How about forgetting an online account password?
Oh, listen, this is a problem, man.
On an hourly basis for me.
Well, listen, every time you go to a website these days, they want you to register in order to use it, it seems. And you dare not use the same username and password at every website. And some have special requirements. Some want a capital I and a, you know, some have to have a symbol and some have to have 10 characters. It's really hard to keep them all straight.
I agree. How about having a closet full of clothes but can't find anything to wear?
I really don't have that problem so much.
Okay. Actually, that's an easy one to resolve. You know, it's the 80-20 rule. You use 20% of your clothes 80% of the time. And I think it's even more to 90-10 sometimes, you know. Mm. It depends on what you do.
Yeah, you've got a lot of things in there you never wear.
That's right.
And then
and get
like
rid of
a couple things you wear all the time, right?
And you'll have less, but it'll be more. Literally less is more because you've got it organized and you can see it.
What I do is I just wear black all the time.
Well, that's true. A
black
lot of people
jeans,
will get
I've got
it down
five
to a
pairs
of
black
of
jeans. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it is very easy to leave stuff that doesn't fit. Leave stuff that's got a spot on it. You think you're going to clean, but
I'll
you never
fix
clean.
That later.
Yeah.
Yeah, you won't.
I like this one. receiving a "We missed you" card from a missed parcel delivery.
Oh, please.
I hate that.
Oh, just, you know what? That, I leave it tomorrow. Yeah, knock on the door, or I'll go to the post office and I'll get it when I get it.
I guess. I just don't like it. I don't want to have to go find it. And generally it's something I want, and I want to open it right now. I don't want to wait for it to come tomorrow.
Well,
I'm going to let you announce the number one thing.
The number one irritation is a runny nose.
Oh, my God. Number one, a runny nose. Well,
go get a tissue.
Well, we've talked about a lot of things today. We talked about cheap wine and tattoos.
And runny noses.
And runny noses. And the Cat in the Hat.
Cat in the Hat.
We ran the full.
I have to go read that again.
Well, it's a short read. It won't take you too long.
I'll have time for green eggs and ham.
Okay, on that note, Susan Sikora, thanks for being with us once again.
Okay, thank you, Bob Bates.
And we'll see you next time. And don't forget to stop by olderandwiser.com and check us out for your daily dose of news and entertainment for baby boomers and beyond. See you next time.